hopefully encourages us to be mindful of our relationship with God and to be thankful for what we have. I think the doxology is about the same sort of idea that that Joshua had in his mind. Today in the lectionary, we didn't read the Old Testament passage, but it may be a fairly familiar one. Joshua, who sort of took up the reins from Moses and did the difficult work of occupying the land that God had given to the Israelites after they'd been freed from Egypt. Difficult work, some of it violent. But by the time they had finished, here the Israelite people were in what had been Canaanite territory. There were towns and cities and fields and an abundance that God had provided for God's people. And Joshua, kind of overlooking all of this, said, you know, take a look around. Look at all that you've been given. This is amazing. We should be thankful to God for what God has done. And sort of a doxology, saying, look at this. And in light of that, Joshua said, now you need to make a decision. You have a choice to make. And boldly, he said, you either need to follow the old Egyptian gods, the ones that you've been relieved from, the ones that you've been freed from, or follow the God who has provided all of this for you, that you didn't bring about at all, but that God gave to you. You need to make a choice. Who will you follow? And Joshua said, for me and my family, we will follow the Lord. I mean, that's a big moment, a declaration. In light of all of my surroundings, I choose to follow the Lord. And it feels like a moment to make that kind of choice. And I think it is fair that we would say that choice is probably a bigger kind of moment in our life than, say, what are we going to watch on Netflix or what are we having for dinner, right? I mean, those are choices, decisions that we have to make. Are you fair? That those are choices, but to commit, this is the way my life will be headed. This is the track on which I'm going. This is the God that I will follow. To choose and go on that is a big moment. Some of you probably had that moment offered to you and maybe have made that choice in your life. Maybe it was when you were young and a preacher was kind of proclaiming in a rich evangelical tradition, you know, you need to follow the Lord. If you don't lead the way, the road that goes to heaven, you'll follow the road that leads to hell. So you need to choose. Who will you follow? Will you follow Jesus? And there's this excitement, enthusiasm that indeed this matters. And even if you were 11 years old, you might be grabbing on the back of the pew in front of you till you're white knuckled, feeling like this matters. This is an important decision. What do I do? And the exhortation comes from the community and the crowd and the pastor again. Make a stand. Make a choice for Jesus. Come down and declare. And you raise up and on rubbery kind of legs, come down to the chancel and make your proclamation for the Lord. Some of you have had that experience. And now, 20, 30, 40, 50 years later, you made that choice, but you're grabbing the back of the pew now to sort of help you stand up to sing the hymn rather than because you're so overwhelmed in the moment and the commitment to the Lord. Are you with me? That it's not that you're not choosing the Lord, but the energy and the enthusiasm and the sense of this matters and everything is changed by what I choose in this moment. It doesn't feel like that maybe every Sunday. And no disrespect, but many of us are not here because we chose to come here. We came out of habit. It's what over years and years we've developed. And that's not a bad thing. It's not evil. But it's not certainly that moment of, all right, this is the day I give my life to the Lord kind of moment. And we'll come to church and we'll have a good time and we'll feel good that we've come and we will go home and we'll come back next week because of an ingrained habit. And again, not a problem with that. That's how we learn to live into this life. But are you with me that there can be a change of that emotion and that moment and that sense of all-encompassing power and life-shaping event of a choice to follow the Lord when you were 11 or 12 or 20 or even at a week or two ago to how that works day after day and week after week? It may be a little less oil in our lamp, if you will. And the reason I share that is that Matthew, writing his gospel, he had to wrestle with that same situation. He's writing the gospel to his community that 30 years ago maybe heard the Apostle Paul come and say, Jesus is coming back, it's amazing, they saw him, and they were so excited, and they gave their life, yes, the Lord is coming back, and they watched the sky every night for trumpets and angels and clouds, and it didn't happen, and pretty soon those days turned into weeks, turned into years, and now 30 years or 40 years have passed, and they've sort of lost that energy. Are you with me? Not that they don't believe Jesus is coming back, not that they've been unfaithful, but the same energy and enthusiasm in this moment, this expectation, somehow has waned. And so I can see Matthew thinking about that and recalling this parable that Jesus taught and saying, you know what, this sort of would help us now. And so he recounts in his gospel that Jesus said, you know, there were 10 bridesmaids who were excited to be part of a wedding party, and they were going to meet the groom. And so they gathered with their lamps in anticipation of the groom coming, and they would go with him into the great party that was coming ahead. Now he said, of these 10, 5 of them were really pretty sharp folks. They brought their lamps and they brought a little extra oil. 5 of them, not so top of the heap in terms of thinking through things. Are you with me? That's a nicer way than how the Bible actually says it. But let's just say they weren't really thinking things through. And they bring their lamps and they're gathered. And, you know, over time, the groom doesn't come. It's getting late at night. And collectively, the wise ones and the foolish ones, they all fall asleep. It's what we do. Not a problem again. But then they hear the groom's coming. And so they pop up and they light their oil lamps. And the wise ones pour their extra oil in to make sure that they've got enough. And the light of the ones who didn't bring enough oil starts to fizzle and go out. So there's a dilemma. The groom is coming. 5 of them have lights lit, plenty of oil. 5 of them don't. Hey, can you give us some of your oil? I say, well, we've already poured it into our lamps. It's too late. What are we going to do? Well, maybe I guess you could go and find some more oil. Well, where are we going to go in the middle of the night to find oil? But they leave in search of oil. The groom comes. The 5 that had lights lit and that were still there went with the groom into the great party. They were having a super good time. Sometime later, the rest of them end up showing back up at the party, and they're knocking on the door, and it's dark, and who knows who's out there. And the groom says, I don't even know you. I can't see you. It's dark. What in the world is going on? And they don't get into the great party. He says, you know, we have those times when we're ready and we're participating, and we maybe haven't thought it through, or our decision hasn't really turned into something more like a commitment where we're in it for the long haul. And that time in between fully in and enduring can take its toll, and we can lose our light, if you will, a little bit. We can find the batteries like in the flashlights going down. We're in that place where we wanted to be part of that, but that decision didn't really become a commitment. And that's common for Matthew's church, and it's common, I think, for some of us. Choices and decisions are part of the equation, but they're not the full equation. A decision that leads to a commitment is what's involved in these life-shaping moments and in what it means to follow the Lord. And I had an experience this past week. I was going to the hospital at Duke, and I drove into the parking deck. Well, before I do that, let me just say this about decisions. Because in this little story, we want to sort of point to the ones who didn't think organized enough. Why didn't they bring enough oil? All sort of questions about that. We sort of may read into it that, well, they were the good ones and that there were bad ones and that they got closed out of something. But what's really at hand here is that in our life of decisions and in living into commitments, the scenario doesn't stay the same. And we make choices and decisions and circumstances that we have to respond to. They don't just stay pat, locked in. My dad used to say it this way. He said, when you take a drink of coffee that is way too hot, whatever you do next is going to be wrong. Right? Sometimes we have that decision. You're going to spit it out and it's not right because it's a mess and it's not good, or it might get on somebody, or you're going to swallow it and it is going to burn you up. But you're going to have to do something. And my experience about the something was going to Duke Hospital, and I had these car top carriers for kayaks on top of my Suburban. And I've been in the Duke parking lot 100 times, but not with these on. It had been a while since I had the boat, so I just didn't think about it. So I pushed the button, got the ticket, and I clunk, clunk. I'm like, what in the world? I went, uh-oh. See, the level of how low or how high your car can be is at a certain level. I had no problem until you put this on top of the car. So, and the thing is, once you go through the gate and you clip a couple of these, there's no solution that's easy getting out of it. Right? Like, you can't back up because I'm like, wait, this is too tall. There are these blocks. Every 6 feet, there's these bars. And you can see sort of like there's a lot of scuffs on these things. Right? So I have four of these on top of my Suburban. And so I stopped the car, pulled over, and people were driving by and looking. And I'm saying, well, can I just get them off? And because I always have tools in my car, I thought this will be easy. Of course, my tools are elsewhere. They're not in my car. I can't get these things off. So I'm parked there. I'm like, what in the world am I going to do? Because there's a lot of these things ahead. And I'm like, I don't know if it's going to break those. I don't know if it's going to tear the top off my car. And there's no easy exit out. And the thing is that I knew, I had to make up my mind, you know what? I've got to move forward. Like, I don't have a choice. Not moving. I already decided to come in. I'm in. There is nothing short of something that is going to be destructive and uncomfortable going to happen. So I went a little bit further and it started to aggravate me, like, dunk, 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 like, oh! Right? So I stopped again. I'm like trying to get there. I thought, well, maybe somebody would feel sorry for me and say, can I help you with that? But no, all I saw was some guy hanging out. Hey, how you doing? I'm just fiddling with these antlers, right? And then if you've ever been in that parking deck, like, it's not just like drive around and get back out, because I thought, well, if I found a parking place, I could just pull in and then I'll go get some tools and it'll be okay. But there's no parking places for like four levels. So I'm like, well, I'll go down, I'll come out. But you still had to go down. So dunk, 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 dunk. And I was like, oh, everyone getting lower. So finally, I found a parking place. I pulled in. And later, after I went to the hospital, I went and got a wrench and took them off and got out. And I thought, and honest to goodness, because I'm a pastor, I went, you know, this will make a good preaching sermon, you know, illustration at some point. And then this week came along. I'm like, yeah, here we go. The thing is that living into these commitments, it's going to be bumpy. You can't just dictate and say, I decide until it becomes difficult. And there's something about the way that we participate and our willingness to stay into these decisions that makes all of the difference, regardless of how much oil you have in your lamp. It's easy, again, for us to judge these bridesmaids, they should have done more or not, but here's really what's at stake. They made a decision to be part of this wedding party. They showed up. They brought in lamp. Some of them brought for the long haul. Some of them didn't. But when the groom came and it was time to go to the party, the thing that they'd been there for, and some of their lamps didn't work, they should have just stayed and gone to the party. But instead, they got worried that their lamps weren't full enough, that they weren't part of the crew, that they didn't have it all worked out, that everything wasn't perfect, and they started to worry. What are we going to do? Give us some of your oil. Well, we've already used our oil. Well, what are we going to do? And they, I don't know, go get some. But that wasn't the answer. The answer was to simply stay with us. We'll all go into the party together because you made a decision. You said, I'm going to the party. I'm going to the wedding with the groom. But they went off in search of oil. They went in search to do, they made a different decision. I'm in the bottom of the parking garage. I don't know, I'll just leave the car here forever. No, you've got to move forward. But they chose to go elsewhere. And sometimes we do that with our decision. We do that with our willingness to follow Jesus. Well, it gets a little tough. I haven't seen Jesus for a while. My oil has run a little low. I guess I'm just going to go, you know, distract myself with this thing. I guess I'm just going to tackle my vocation and make a lot of this or whatever those, I'm going to lose myself in this activity. I'm not sure where God is. I'm going to kind of forget it. But whatever those questions are, they're like choosing to make the decision over and they miss the part of being committed. If the bridesmaids had just stayed, whether they had lamps or not, they'd be in the party. They wouldn't have left. They'd been committed to what they were doing. So what do we do with this? Where do we re-engage? How do we work on the commitment part of this in our world, in our life as followers? Maybe you've made that decision. And it's like I told the kids, it has something to do with how we are with others. But I thought about this. When we talk about commitments and decisions, a couple have been married 50 years and the wife decided it would be good for us to renew our wedding vows. Sounds lovely, right? Some of you guys have done the renewal of wedding vows. I think she was more excited about it than he was. But he'd been married 50 years. He went along, right? Yeah, sure, I'll show up. So she gets all dressed up. They're going to have family and friends over at the house. He puts on a new suit. And they're before the pastor there. And the pastor says, will you take this woman to be your wife? So in about that time, that voice sort of started to fade. And he, how did I get here? Why did I participate in this? What am I talking about? What is going on? And then he looked at his bride. And he started to remember that they'd shared a life together. Not just the good times, but the times where there was sickness and there was difficulty and the times when the kids were cranky and things weren't going well. They were there with each other and there was these moments of love and connection. And there were moments of joy and excitement. And I think as he looked at his bride, it was as if she was getting younger and younger by the minute. Back to the place where he'd made that decision with the enthusiasm and the excitement and where she had made her decision about him. And he looked over at the kids gathered around and thought about their adventures and the grandkids. And you see what's happened is he's starting to get it. And finally, the pastor's like, well, so do you, you know, is kind of back in the moment. Yeah, I do. You see, the decision was already there, but it was living into the commitment that fuels the long-lasting connections and the moments in our life. It is the practicing. We can make decisions on a crazy whim to get married, but it is the service of lifelong being with your spouse that makes it a commitment. Are you with me? It is the day after day moment that builds the connection and the energy and fuels that. We can, in a moment of passion, decide to have children, but it is the caring for the children throughout their life and the self-giving into their well-being that creates the commitment, that fuels the commitment. And it is our decision to follow the Lord, to receive Jesus into our life, to say, I am following Jesus. But it is the day-to-day practice of that. The decision matters, but it is the daily walk that matters. It is the daily reaffirming your connection. It's not that you're disingenuous with the moment that you make a decision, or maybe you haven't, or you're going to, or you recently have. Those moments matter, but it is more than a decision. It is a commitment that is borne out with life and experience. It is each day saying, I'm going to follow again today. Even if my lamp feels like it's been out of oil for 50 years and I'm just going through the motions, wait a minute. I've not been abandoned. And in fact, I can just reaffirm, because our decision is not to a set of ideas. It's not to an organization. It's not to a religion. It's not to some thought process. Our commitment and our relationship is to the person of Jesus Christ. So it's not a matter of having made up your mind. It is a matter of relationship. And so maybe what we would hear is Matthew would proclaim and remind his community, hey, hang in there. Whether Jesus has come today or comes in 1,000 years is not the point. Because each and every day you experience the connection of commitment and the presence fresh and anew if you're willing to. The only thing that I warn you is don't walk away. Don't go searching for more oil. Don't wait till you get it all right or you feel like you don't fit in. Stick into the middle of it if your light is as dark as night. Because even in the darkness, God's grace and love is there. And please do not forget, and this is the toughest one for us, they were going to a party. You know, we can make this story seem something about judgment and horribleness and shut in and who's out and who's in. This is about risking missing the joy and the grace and the love of the best party ever that is available each and every day. If we'll stick in there, if we'll stay connected, if we'll continue to live into the decision to follow Jesus. This we pray in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn. What number is it? 540.